Hello, world. This is Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to Cape 88. Still in New Jersey. Still doing this every other week thing. So, of course, you could tune in again in 2 weeks for the next episode of Cape. But this one just started, so let's get down to that. Rejoining me once again are two of my other fellow delinquents in New Jersey. Because you demanded it, they made yet another encore appearance on the show.
So, Chris, could you loosen the shackle? I mean, this really hurts.
Be quiet, you. You're lucky I took that sock out of your mouth. Joining me, as you just heard,
so I've had to eat in 3 weeks.
Is, do you want to introduce yourself in your classic fashion?
Sure. Hey, everybody. This is Jack.
It's Jack. That is Jack DeFranco. And we are currently flanking Ryan Taggart.
So,
Not even supposed to be here today.
That's my go-to sound lately. I don't know why. Yeah. I miss having a soundboard at my disposal. But anyway.
Yeah, you can just make it yourself.
I can, but it's not the same. It's
know.
Kind of fun having random noises go off. You think?
Yeah.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
You're talented. What can I say? All right, that's enough of that.
Yeah.
Get on with it.
I'm running out of cash to hand off to you.
Wait, you're getting paid for this?
Yes. This is the ass-kissing show.
Not in money.
Yeah.
Compliments.
Use your imagination.
Not gay, we're friends. Anyway, yeah, we are here to, we've been talking for quite a while and figure we might as well just put this down on, I was going to say wax, but we're not putting it on a record.
Or anything.
Although maybe.
Or we're not putting it down on
anything,
really.
Although, because we're talking about nostalgia, we could put it on a wax and it would sell like crazy.
Yeah.
But.
We're going to record this on cassette just for the novelty, but it didn't.
It's not novel anymore.
What the hell is with that?
Dude, I don't know. Listen, I talked about this on my own on a show I did a couple weeks ago where I talked about how I think because now you figure let's say iTunes has been the go-to for digital music for, let's say, 12 years, right? At least.
Yeah.
And iPods have been pretty standard. So any kid who grew up with an iPod who was like 8, and is now 20, they've grown up with digital music. So now physical music, there's novelty to it. Like, oh, I can own this, like something tangible. Like they've grown up with everything being digital, that it's the norm.
I get
so
that.
So I think it has the appeal in the same way vinyl, the least convenient format ever.
Yes.
Is the biggest selling.
Well, yeah, but even a cassette, there's not enough nostalgia in the world that would make me want to go through that again.
No, but not for us, but for kids, for millennials.
Oh, you're talking about people who really didn't.
Oh, yeah,
they
haven't grown up with it. Well, think about when's the last time you were in a store that sold cassettes?
When the Wiz was still in business.
That's a good point.
Boardwalks don't count.
No, not kidding. Like, that was the last time, and they were trying to get rid of all their cassettes.
Oh, really?
That's, like, the last memory I
five
had
for
of them before
$1
they went
or
out.
Something like that.
2002 is my last memory of stores having cassettes, because I still had a cassette player in my first car, an upgrade to a CD player, or to a CD player, I should say, till like, the next, I think, like, 03 or something, I finally caved and... Yeah. Spent
and,
whatever
and
the
getting
hell
a cassette in a store was even more like it had that big plastic like that like holding thing. Like,
oh yeah,
it was like you pulled it out of the wall and it was like, oh wait, we're not done yet. Hold on.
Yeah, it was like a security case, like those things they put razors in. Now.
But the cassette's
like
the size of an index card, and
like
you
could rope an animal
rack.
With that, and like walk like you can. Yeah. You could trap an animal with the cassette holder.
You're right. Yeah, back in the day, that's true, man. That's my theory as far as why they're making a comeback, because kids didn't grow up with tangible media. All they've known is digital. So the idea of owning something and actually owning a physical version of just that, not just some series of zeros and ones on a device, but an actual physical copy, I think that's novel to them.
I would never
because
want
they haven't
actually.
Grown up with it. We grew up with it. So to us, it's just like, why would you want that?
Right.
But for them, it's new and it's cool.
I mean, I understood that as far as having a CD, because CDs are portable enough.
Oh, yeah.
That you could bring them around and have them in your car. But, I mean, a cassette, I just, even having...
I don't know. Dude, the
they're
albums...
better for display purposes
and
nowadays.
And you were saying they were selling... Where did you see them selling for, like, $13 a pop? Get out of here.
Yeah, they're a bunch of... Listen, they reissued, unsurprisingly, NWA's Straight Outta Compton album, the original album on cassette, Nirvana's album Bleach, which I think was the first album, all the Blink-182 albums, all of them.
You sent me a picture of that when you first kind of clued me into the fact that they were doing this.
Yeah, I was like, dude, this is a thing.
I saw Blink-182 albums in there.
I mean, it was
cassette.
Different. Like when I saw like the new Lana Del Rey album, I was like, okay, it's hipster bullshit. And
then
in January, fucking Bieber's new album came out on cassette. Like the last format it was released on was cassette. So it's a thing if pop albums are being released on cassette. Like, the novelty was cool. I mean, it's what everyone was crying out for after Guardians of the Galaxy came out. Like, let's get this on cassette because it plays into the movie. The soundtrack was a character in that movie.
Oh,
and
was,
the fact that it was on a cassette because...
But are cassette Peter players Quill's in high demand now? Like, are people going to
They're manufacturing
and
them again.
Yeah, really?
No, but they're not. But yeah. Their company's manufacturing. You can buy a Walkman again. I mean, not the Sony Walkman.
How much
Walkman,
is it going to cost, though?
$20, $30. About
really?
The same that we paid as kids.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not some like $50
novelty. And a cassette
novelty.
Costs more than half that.
Dude, cassettes cost now more than they ever did back in the day.
It's weird, too, because there's been this kind of weird shift, like I said, back to the way things used to be, because now... They're actually companies are manufacturing, like when everything went digital, when everyone was talking about, as you guys probably heard, every, you know, records being made digitally with Pro Tools and everything else. For a while, I mean, this is maybe 10 years ago, tape companies stopped manufacturing reel to reel tape. But now, in an attempt to go in the opposite direction, once again, the pendulum swinging the other way after everybody's gotten so used to digital. Now tape's being manufactured again and bands are recording on tape again. Now it's being made again, whereas it wasn't made for a couple of years.
It's the same with film, too, because everybody is now on the film craze.
Everybody
is not, like, Star Wars is one of the most recent ones to shoot on film, and everybody else is announcing we're shooting on film.
Right.
We're not shooting on digital anymore.
Well, that's also because, I mean, because film costs so much to shoot on, you know, $100 a foot or whatever the hell it is. Certain directors can do it. I mean, J.J. Abrams can do it for Star Wars. They can do it.
Christopher Nolan can do it.
Yeah.
Tarantino.
Tarantino can do it. Yeah, that's the person I was trying to think of. There are some, but they have some... Like, these are guys who have some kind of cachet. Like, that's why they can do it and say, I want
to
shoot on film.
It doesn't be a thing now, though, because a few guys are going back to it or using
that. You don't need everybody to start shooting on film. You don't need...
Because that's gonna fall in with that hipster bullshit.
That's what I mean. It's different.
Like, it's cool to shoot on film again because, well, there's no real reason for
it. It's cost prohibitive to shoot on anything other than digital if you're not one of these guys. I mean, just, you have to be like a top tier director to be able to shoot
break
on film.
Even on a film
it
to shoot
costs,
with film. Yeah.
Yeah, it costs so much. So shooting on digital in a case like that is different. As far as cassettes go, I mean, even the Blink thing, when I saw, I figured, well, they must have had a hand in this because for those guys, I'm sure they grew up buying cassettes and. Has to find cassette, and maybe their first two albums. I mean, I'm sure Dude Ranch was on cassette.
Yeah, it was.
Maybe the one that came after that. But for them, they bought cassettes, so there's almost like a full circle kind of thing for them, where it's just like, hey, man, we grew up buying cassettes, now we can put our albums out on cassettes.
Right.
Something we thought we were never going to do because, you know, they weren't happening anymore. I mean, same thing happened with vinyl. Now there's stuff being issued on vinyl. Soundtracks from the 90s getting reissued on vinyl, like first time on vinyl. You buy the Clueless soundtrack or the Empire Records soundtrack on vinyl for the first time. Stuff that, or I saw one, what the hell did I see recently? Garden State. I mean, that's a movie from 2004, and it's being put out on vinyl now. And it's like, okay. I don't know why vinyl has been the fastest or the biggest selling format across the board over CDs because it's not convenient.
I see it as a display piece more than actually wanting to use the vinyl or the cassette.
Yeah, if
like
if,
you'd
if
rather
I'm being
frame
honest.
A vinyl record or have it on a shelf with some Blu-rays or something. Put your cassette, your Guardians of the Galaxy cassette next to your Guardians of the Galaxy and Marvel Blu-ray collection.
Right,
that's one thing. But are you really gonna break down and get a cassette player and go through all that again?
I still have them.
There's some that, yeah, great. They're a cool conversation piece, but I would never want to go through that again.
Even with the vinyl, though, like I got a record player and I have vinyl. I don't ever listen to any of it.
Yeah.
I put on two or three albums over the course of two years that I've had a record player at this point. I don't know. I
traded some in recently.
And I'll still buy a vinyl record once in a while, but I don't actually ever listen to it.
Yeah, I traded some of
like
my
I have
vinyl
them all
it's like
on,
I'm never going to use this, so I might as well get rid of it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, in the opposite way, I've started, because I've gotten so used to my iPod, and I have an iPod, aside from my phone, because I need a dedicated device to hold my music on, but I had to kind of go back to CDs, not that I had to, I have my iPod here with me in New Jersey, but because my car's not here, I've been using my parents' car while I've been here in Jersey, and there's an auxiliary input, I have an auxiliary cable, I connect my iPod anytime I want. But the overwhelming majority of my CD collection is still in New Jersey. So I'm finding myself picking out CDs and bringing them with me and listening to them in the car, whereas I've gotten so used to just, I buy a CD, I rip it onto my hard drive, and then I copy it onto my iPod. I'm not always listening to a CD when I buy a CD anymore. I'm putting it on the iPod and then listening to it that way. So I've kind of had to go back to the way it was where I was picking out albums for when I was going to be driving around.
And that's cool to do every so often. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's CDs that we've gotten when we've gone CD shopping at Vintage Vinyl and other places that I haven't listened to them. I've listened to them on my iPod.
Exactly.
I've never listened to the CD. They just,
it's
yep,
weird.
Got the audio. You're done.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. It goes in as another, it's like an archive.
Right.
Yeah. Like this is my physical archive. Yeah,
but it's
when
also
did
like
that
a cool
at Vintage
backup
Vinyl,
plan.
I did the same thing. Yeah. I bought like 3 Cinderella CDs and I just put them on my iPod.
Totally.
But it's also like a cool backup, and just in case, God forbid, something happens. Like, well, I have.
When the cloud goes
true.
Down.
Yeah,
when the cloud goes down.
Listen, I've got the physical copy.
When it happens, when we're sold to China and Obama comes and takes our guns and all your technology's gone, we'll still have our CDs.
Yep.
I'm fucking around, people. I'm totally joking about that. I'm just saying, in a doomsday kind of situation, it's just like, I have my CDs.
Well, if Shaun of the Dead taught us anything, we can use vinyl records for zombie kill.
Yeah. So we got that. So, see, you thought that third Boston album was good for nothing. You were wrong. Anyway, let's move on to some other bits of nostalgia.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot now. There's been a resurgence.
I've had a theory about nostalgia just in general. I feel like there's a 20-year cycle where old becomes new again. Let's look back at the 90s when we were growing up. In the 90s, I remember like a 70s, like people were crazy about stuff in the 70s. Grease was still fucking popular as hell. That soundtrack was selling everywhere.
Dude,
the Star Wars special editions were out, and everybody was going Star Wars crazy again. Big 70s movies were like all over TV on like AMC just coming on, Cinemax.
Dude, 99 when I started my senior year of high school and I worked at Old Navy, that's when flared pants came back and
that
women were wearing
show,
essentially bell bottoms.
Yeah, that 70s show. There was a whole craze in the 90s for the 70s. And now, the same way in the previous decade, in the early 2000s, I feel like there was a craze for the 80s because certain things like DVD had come out. And it was a way to rediscover old movies, again, buying them on DVD as opposed to just seeing them in a video store and maybe renting them. Like, you rediscovered it, plus there were bonus features and everything else, and there was an 80s craze of...
And the music became big again, too, because a lot of bands reunited. You know, Twisted Sister reunited in 01 to do a charity event after 9/11. And there were also like rock cruises that were happening, and VH1
and they're
was
still
doing
happening.
Like making the it's become a big source of
and
income.
And VH1
would
have specials. I love the 80s. I love the 80s Strikes Back. I love
that
the 90s.
Show was brilliant.
Yes,
I love the 80s was great.
And all countdowns of old of music videos and stuff like that, like music documentaries. They would go back and be like the birth of MTV for the 20th anniversary. So there was that nostalgia of 80s craze. Now we're in a stage of the 90s are popular, and I think it's because more so our generation is like. Remember Nicktoons? They were so this. And remember Full House? Yeah, that was a great time. Where I think like more of this age is like we clamor for our youth as opposed to like rediscovering old stuff.
We just want to go back.
Well,
we do.
Yeah, everybody's clinging to their youth desperately because
desperately.
People our age are afraid of getting old / growing up.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. that's the
it
biggest
all sucks.
Thing. Yeah.
And even going back to the 80s, what I feel is a big thing where the 60s
which
had
is
a
stretch
research.
For you, but let's go back to the 80s.
Yeah. But even listening to music from the 80s, you can tell that there was a 60s nostalgia because a lot of the artists who were on the radio were influenced by the Beatles, grew up, made music because they loved the Beatles. You can hear that influence in pop music, new wave, all that stuff, in rock music and everything. So there's a big, I always feel like everything that's 20 years older comes back in waves.
Yeah, there's
and
a
it
cycle.
Comes back big. Like, remember this? Oh, yeah.
So does that mean in like 2-3 years, Smash Mouth is going to come back? And
probably.
Oh, please, no.
Shit.
Yeah, well, I think music in the 90s is different because not a lot of those bands really stuck together.
None of those bands survived. Well, it's funny. That was the joke in the night. Look, when I was in high school and people were laughing at me because I was listening to Def Leppard or Van Hagar or whatever it was.
Van Hagar.
And it was, you know, and this is like the fucking idiots who were listening to Marilyn Manson and stuff
they
like that.
They had their red baseball cap
laughing
backwards.
At me.
Oh, Fred Durst is a fucking god.
Yeah, oh, and those fucking idiots
Limp
who were
like me and Andrew.
You didn't actually listen to Limp Bizkit, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah,
well,
I
don't know if Andrew did, but Andrew was like Slipknot, you know. Is that
oh, yeah, no.
Shit.
Their second album I was way into. Whatever the significant other.
Yeah, that's it.
I was way into
that
album.
Nobody cared about Limp Bizkit before that except for the Faith cover.
Except for the Faith cover, exactly.
Which sounded nothing like what Limp Bizkit turned into.
No, not at all.
Which was fucking frat rock, basically. It was some of the worst shit. Yeah, all that stuff. Like, none of those bands survived.
Yeah, nobody wants to see Sugar Ray again.
I saw Sugar Ray last summer.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, they had that 90s concert at the Stone Pony outdoors. It was Sugar Ray.
Everclear was probably there. Everclear. They're doing one of those types of things too.
RC
they were not this
one.
It was Smash Mouth. We left before them because I didn't really care to see Smash Mouth.
But
yeah,
you saw
Uncle
Ray.
Uncle Cracker. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean that was kind of fun.
Well, don't you feel like an asshole now, Jack?
Yeah. Not really.
No one sees Sugar Ray.
I mean, I saw Sugar Ray.
I don't feel
in
like an
college.
Asshole. He saw Sugar Ray.
Yeah. Yeah. They played at Rutgers when I was at school there too, so I've seen Sugar Ray a couple times. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Mark McGrath. Yeah, nobody cares.
Actually, people still do care. He's
actually,
still working.
People, yeah,
so,
that's,
yeah.
You know, I host award show ceremony.
You know what?
Carpet.
There was a thing I forget. And I'm not picking on. I'm just saying Smash Mouth because I'm trying to think of a band from the late '90s.
There's not a lot
that was overplayed. Well, no, I'm using that as an example because All Star was just beaten to fucking death a good 2 to 3 years. It like had such a long shelf life. It was ridiculous. But there was a thing, something going on back in my neck of the woods in around the San Fernando Valley where there was some outdoor concert or some event going on and Smash Mouth was going to be playing and there was somebody posted something on Facebook about it and kind of being, I don't know what the big thing is right now where it's irony where it's like, oh, let's go see Smash Mouth. You know, like it's ironic, like it's cool to go be ironic
just,
to go
they just
see
look at their phones
Smash
the entire
Mouth.
Time. Oh, I love
yeah.
It.
And it's just funny how people were kind of making fun of it. Just like, what are they playing? Well, is there a new car dealership opening? And I mean, no, it's funny, but at the same time, say what you want or laugh it up, but like these guys won. These guys haven't had a fucking job in over 20 years.
Right.
So,
and you
good
do.
For them. Yeah. And you do. So, you, and that's why I'm less keen. Not that I won't pick on things. I pick on superficial shit, but I'm not like, you know, oh my, they got to be real desperate to blah, blah, blah. No, fuck that, man. They won.
Yeah.
And they won.
And
I mean,
they
even same thing with Sugar Ray.
Music and
you're right. Mark McGrath's still working. So, I'm not going to hate on Mark McGrath. It's like the dude probably makes more in residuals than any of us makes doing our schlep jobs.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Yeah. Like, there's a big, there's this weird, kind of chasm when it comes to people with has-beens. But yeah, like none of the bands, as we were saying, like from the 90s, very few of them survived. They all split up. Even the bigger, I mean, except for Pearl Jam, everybody split up. You know, obviously Nirvana split up in the most dramatic way possible.
True.
Soundgarden split up. I mean, I'm trying to think from a certain age.
Smashing Pumpkins
split up and then
Gin Blossom split up and then got back together.
Yeah.
What about the Goo Goo Dolls?
Goo Goo Dolls kept going.
Goo Goo Dolls are still together.
Collective Soul kept going.
Yeah.
They're actually touring together. That's what made me think of it. Goo Goo Dolls and Collective Soul are touring this summer. And I was actually kind of intrigued.
Well, Collective Soul, it's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Goo Goo Dolls.
But it's so funny. I don't know if they ever split up or if people stopped caring. And again, I'm not picking up.
I don't think Counting Crows are still making music. I haven't.
Don't
heard
the brothers hate each other?
Time.
I could be wrong.
No, you're thinking Black Crows.
Black Crows,
yeah.
Yeah, wrong Crows.
Black Crows split up. But they were never part of that whole scene.
Nah.
And one of your favorites, Oasis, isn't...
Well, they finally split in 2009, so they still lasted a good 15 years. Yeah. So anyone who passed a decade is, you know, has enough of a history. But yeah, it's so funny that, excuse me, just like the bands from the 80s, who all split up because the music scene changed and everything, well, that's what happened. In the late 90s and early 2000s, it was all pop stars.
Yeah.
Or boy bands. And it's kind of gone back to that again now because it's pop stars and boy bands. I mean, the Grammys just happened, and that's all it was anyway.
God damn
I mean,
it.
Come on.
Didn't even bother.
Come on, except for the hollow tributes to, you know, the artists who passed. Otherwise, it's like, yeah, nobody actually cares. Everyone's just waiting for Pitbull.
And I just feel like every artist in the last 20 years is more disposable than they were back in the 70s and 80s. At least people were still working. Billy Joel had worked for 20 years to put out 12 albums. Cheap Trick was still working. Some of their albums might not have been big, but they kept working, and they got a number one hit late in the decade.
Yeah.
There were bands that kept, like, we didn't abandon artists back from, like, the 60s, 70s, and 80s. People were still working and were consistent. But, like, it comes to the mid-90s, I feel like we start taking that consistency and just making
they
it.
They started, well, yeah. I think the bigger thing, more so than disposable, I think it's that they became interchangeable.
That's
because
true.
You couldn't tell, I mean, listen, if you were to play, just if you took somebody from... It's probably rude to say third world country. I'm just trying to think of somebody who didn't grow up in America or Britain or whatever, and you played a Backstreet Boys track and an NSYNC track, you couldn't distinguish between them because they sound the same.
True.
Every female pop star right now sounds the same. It's not that different. One Direction and you know, all the, and 5 Seconds of Summer and all those other, that current wave of boy band, they sound the same.
Yeah, it's called, it's like so, South Park coined it, tween wave. That's
wave. That's pretty much what it is. That's the way it's kind of gone, and that nobody really stands out. I mean, it's sad when you think the most successful band in rock is Foo Fighters, a bunch of guys staring down the barrel of middle age. When you think about it, like, there's no young rock bands coming up. It's pretty fucking sad, especially when you look at, you know, Who's paying tribute to the dearly departed Lemmy? A bunch of AARP recipients. I mean, when you think about like the Grammy tribute, it's like everybody in the Hollywood Undead's over 50. And they're the ones paying tribute to Motorhead. There's no band of, you know, 23-year-old firebrands who are out there saluting the great Lemmy. No, it's a bunch of dudes who are middle-aged. That's what I'm saying. It's sad. Like, it's weird to think, like, their rock bands are almost a thing of the past. And, you know, everybody wants to be fucking DJ. Nobody wants to be in a band. I mean, I realize we're digressing a little bit, but it's still...
No.
Hopefully it'll go back. That'd be nice to see that come back again. I mean, it's always... Stuff always goes underground. Look at disco. Bands weren't... You know, there's a whole... Disco was as mainstream as it could get, and bands were a little more underground. Then rock music came back as new wave, and then... You know, things evolved. It splintered and heavy metal popped up and all this other stuff.
But, yeah, but people kept working, getting played on the radio. A lot of them just, like, once you're a certain age, it's like, no, we don't play that anymore.
Yeah, and it'll be cool. And bands who stuck around are still cool. Like, Def Leppard, did, on their last tour, where they headlined and they had, who was opening? Styx and Tesla. I didn't see them, but they're supposedly coming back this summer. I'm sure they are because they have a new album out, which is awesome. But
is it awesome?
Yeah. It's really awesome. It's my favorite album of theirs since 96.
Hmm.
And I'm not saying I didn't like the ones in between. I'm just saying their original album, this is my favorite one.
Wow.
From the nice. out of their last four, this is the best one, hands down. But they sold more tickets on this tour than they have since like their heyday.
Oh, they put
like they're
on, they
selling
put
out like 20,000 seat arenas.
Amazing.
As a headliner, and these are dudes in their 50s, which is great. I mean, again, they deserve it and they've earned it. Yeah. Or even look at someone like Springsteen. I mean, he's in mid-60s and he's selling out all over the place. He's doing multiple nights at 40,000 seat arenas. Yeah. It's just
Joel's
weird.
Doing a stadium tour across the country, like baseball stadium tours.
Yeah,
people want to see it.
That's awesome too. Yeah.
It is. I mean, and it's just kind of weird that there's no one young coming up. It's just kind of bizarre to me.
Who's going to have that longevity? Who's going to have that? Don't you want to become a legend in music? Don't you want to keep going and
everyone just wants to be a fucking DJ. That's why you see them all with laptops and headphones.
Yeah.
That's where it is. Every poster is for a DJ. You know, everything is just like a dude standing in front of a crowd like, you know. Guys are making six figures a night DJing, quote-unquote,
in Vegas. I will
stay
stuck in the 80s.
That's a profession I would like to see wiped out.
Yeah,
I'm with you. Well,
whenever
I'm at
a bar where I can hear myself think and just talk to someone, and then the DJ comes in at 10 o'clock at night, I'm like, all right, that's it. Let's go.
Dude.
I can't be here.
That is one of the reasons
fucking
why
awful.
I hate going to – I'm not – I mean, aside from the fact I don't watch sports, I don't like going to sports bars. I don't like going to a lot of chain restaurants. We went to Fridays around Christmas time, and, of course, all the music is playing is annoying. Once again, interchangeable kind of pop music. That's one of the reasons, truthfully, I love Tilted Kilt, because you go in there and you'll hear some 38 Special and Lynyrd Skynyrd. I mean, they're actually playing bands.
Like, why does there have to be a DJ? Can't you just play music on the radio?
You have
speakers in the place. Can't you just put on music?
Yeah, don't you have sound
radio? You have to have someone
does
playing
somebody
a,
have a Spotify
spinning
account?
A medley of bullshit from the 2000s.
Yeah. Oh, not even, dude. It's always the same couple of songs that are current right now.
Right.
That's such a thing.
They all sound the same.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I mean. Interchangeable. That's really what it's come down to. But, yeah, there's been a burst of nostalgia. Well, particularly with the last couple of days. And I know, Jack, you and I were talking about it with one of the first little dips back into the 90s pool. That's happened with the release of Fuller House.
Yes.
Which,
as of this recording, we haven't seen it, but...
Yeah, it was released today. We're recording this the Friday before it goes up.
But,
nobody's seen it.
The early reviews are it's the same exact show with the same exact premise, just they're grown up. It's weird because the Tanner family curse is if you marry and you have three of the same sex, the opposite sex will die. That same sex will die because there were three girls in Full House. The mother died and now there's GJ has three boys and her husband's dead. So that's like the Tanner family.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's the Tanner family curse.
It's fucked up.
Yeah,
that's really
same exact premise.
Do they address it?
Yeah,
in the show, the Tanner family curse.
No, they don't.
They don't. They don't call it by name.
No, but you can tell. It's like, DJ has three kids, all of
Tanner
which
family
were
curse
DJ, Stephanie, and Michelle's age, and the husband's dead. Just like how Danny had three daughters,
and the
mother's
mother
dead.
Was dead.
Yeah, it's definitely a Tanner family curse.
Now it's funny when this was announced. It was one of those things where I was like. What? Do people really want to revisit this thing 20-something odd years later?
And the answer is a resounding yes.
Yes! Everybody's been going apeshit leading up to this thing. Everyone's so excited. People are freaking out.
I didn't want a series. Like a made-for-like a two-hour movie.
Right.
Sure, on Netflix. You want to put that on there? A whole series? Like,
I was kind of surprised, but the Yeah, the buzz leading up to it's been tremendous. I mean, and to be fair, I mean, I do have a friend who worked on the show and was very much into it and said that everybody was having a really, really good time because you hear stuff and you know when people don't get along. But the fact that everybody in that cast has actually been in touch this entire time since the show's been off the air. Well, that's the difference. They've been in touch with their fucking parole officer or their sponsor for rehab or whatever. But
Michelle, sit down, honey. We got to talk.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they did
cue
something.
The heartfelt
I know
music.
I know they tried to get the good Olsen to play the grown up Michelle because the two of them declined.
Yeah.
But I think they did get somebody to play the grown up Michelle. I don't know what the story is. I didn't look that deeply into it. I mean, again, I'm not interested in it because anytime I've seen an episode of Full House in the last few years, totally doesn't hold up. As a kid, I enjoyed this because I didn't.
It's pure cheese.
Yeah, it's totally cheesy.
It's very cheesy.
As a kid, I just didn't know any. I mean, TGIF was just it. When we were kids, that was the pinnacle of comedy for us was anything that was on TGIF. Not to say it wasn't good, but I watch it now and I'm like,
we grew up in a sense of where there was a family could sit down and watch this, and I think that's what people are looking for our age. Like, I want to sit and watch this again, maybe with my parents, because kids today aren't going to have that. Watch a show with your parents. They're going to do this. I'm playing with my phone. As we're all sitting and watching a movie together.
Which is a generation. It's kind of an interesting merging of...
There's no interest in family, like a family dynamic anymore. A family could sit down on TGIF, and
gather around to watch the show because it's airing, which is an interesting merging of the past and the present, because while it's bringing something old back, it's doing it in the current way, which is, here you go. Here's something you could binge on.
Yeah.
Every episode released... It's like 13 episodes or something, isn't it?
Something like that.
Is it that many?
I think so. I think it's a full season.
I thought I heard it was supposed to be like 6 episodes, and that was going to be it.
Oh, really? I don't know.
I could be wrong. I thought I heard that originally.
Yeah, I thought it was like a regular. I mean, it wasn't like 22
like
episodes.
It was just a limited thing, and then they were going to do a one-off thing, and that was going to be it.
Oh no, I don't know what the intention is beyond that, but I mean, I just thought when I heard it, I was like, are people looking forward to this? I'm just surprised there's so much anticipation for it. Because I thought, does everyone want to see these people grown up or with their own kids or whatever the hell it was? And the answer was a resounding yes. Yes, 13 episodes in this season.
But it's the first of many shows that are going to be following this. Gilmore Girls was announced to come back.
Oh, yeah,
Netflix.
Yeah.
White girls are shitting their pants over that, too.
Oh, yeah, they are.
My mom and sister are...
The white girls everywhere love the Gilmore Girls.
Oh,
love
yes, they
that
do.
Shit.
And hipster guys like it, too.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do. Because it's ironic.
I couldn't tell you I've ever seen an episode of Gilmore Girls.
I haven't either. Because it's not for me.
It's been on in my house. I lived with my mom and sister.
But there's also a certain
Melissa McCarthy's not
disappointment.
Be in it.
Yeah, because Melissa McCarthy was not even approached about it, which is kind of interesting. But I guess they don't want to. Maybe for at the time when she wasn't a leading lady, whereas now she is, they probably don't want her to detract from everyone else.
From what I remember of having the show on in the house all the time, she was like prim and proper and like the best friend role. She's not going to be crazy Melissa McCarthy who's going to be cursing and tripping and falling
well,
over things.
Aside from that, they probably don't want to take attention away from the actual Gilmore Girls themselves.
Yeah.
I was just so surprised even that was happening too. But you're right. There's just freaking out about it. It's weird the way nostalgia's taken on that kind of dynamic where everybody wants to go back to something from that long ago. Look at X-Files.
Yes.
Yeah.
But do nothing new with it. I've heard... you're an X-Files fan, Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
But I've heard people are pretty disappointed by this return.
I've only watched the first episode so far. I do plan on finishing the rest of it. The first episode, the acting was awful.
Really?
Yeah. I mean...
just phoned in?
Like, not even
or
phoned in,
bad.
But overdramatic.
Really?
Not even phoned in, but just the opposite end of the spectrum.
But going back to the same
well, too.
And
maybe it was
too.
Just shaking off the cobwebs. I want to keep watching it. And I loved that show when I was a kid. I watched it every week religiously. So I'm going to finish it, but we'll see.
Well,
Corey told me that it gets better because I told him I was like the acting.
Well, Corey
was
watches
so,
everything, so you can't.
The
use
acting
his.
Was just so overdriven and forced, and it looked like
just
they,
melodramatic,
very melodramatic.
Gotcha.
But a lot of these shows, it's like nothing new gets brought to the table, where it just continues.
It's like nothing. Happened like just picking up exactly where they left off. I mean, to a degree,
well,
that's kind of what people want.
That's fine with me. I don't want them to do anything new. I want it to be like it was. That's the whole point for me. For any of this shit to come back, I want it to be exactly like it was.
But a lot of times it doesn't work.
And if it, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, then that's fine.
But like revisiting something that maybe is either dated or an old storyline, it's like we kind of wrap that up. You don't need to bring that back.
Perfect example, Zoolander 2.
Yeah.
And it didn't perform at all. It got terrible reviews. People who like the original one aren't apparently crazy about this one. It's such a weird thing to decide to do a movie 15 years later after a movie that wasn't like a huge hit in the first place. I mean, comedy sequels, first of all, it's not easy to make a good comedy sequel without it being a retread or a complete deviation. I get that sequel money is really good money for everybody. I get that everyone maybe wanted to get together, make a movie together again, get paid for it and hang out or whatever. But there's certain stuff where it's like, is it too long? I mean, I said also not being a fan of Anchorman, like when Anchorman 2 came out, I remember saying to you, Jack, like, I just think it's been too long. I think it's passed. And it kind of did the same amount of money the first one did, except it was 9 years later. Yeah. So, I mean,
I liked the Anchorman 2. I did enjoy that sequel. But Zoolander just seemed like, I don't remember Zoolander being that popular when I saw it in 2001.
It wasn't.
Anchorman was popular that whole summer of 2004.
People were quoting the shit out of it. The DVD sold huge. But Zoolander, I don't think so, though.
No, it was post 9/11. People went and saw it to laugh, to just forget about 9/11.
Yeah, but I think
but
it was
like
think 30 people, million. It wasn't
no,
like
people, no, people weren't quoting the shit out of Zoolander. Until,
yes, they were.
Oh, they were?
Oh, yeah.
Not for.
Yeah, I think I saw it once, and I didn't really think it was that funny, and I realized enough to see that people were just quoting it left and right all day, shit about being really, really ridiculously good looking.
There's
and all
a couple
that.
Funny lines, but it's not like an amazing comedy,
right?
There's
nothing
groundbreaking about it.
I didn't even need to see it again, and I had zero interest in the sequel.
Yeah, I'm with you. I really don't know what. I mean, it looks like the original made $60 million all in. I don't know if it was released internationally, but it wasn't like a huge hit. And obviously, it's something nobody was that hot on doing a sequel to. If it's 15 years later.
But
and
talking about
out.
Doing a comedy sequel all these years later, there's people talking about with the success of Star Wars, they're going to do a Spaceball sequel. It's like, why would you do that again? That movie was perfect as is for its time.
I get
there that. Doesn't need to, but that humor is going to get lost on people nowadays. Like, there was a little bit more, people were inclined with the streak of Mel Brooks movies back in the 70s and 80s.
But and those spoof movies were actually good back
yes.
then, too.
Yes, the spoof movie is garbage.
It has been fucking obliterated. Yeah, yeah. They've been
fucking
they've
garbage
been ruined.
Like The Haunted House and 50 Shades of Black and, more recently, which nobody went to. That movie was
but that movie cost like $1.98, so it made money. I mean, like yeah. It's not like these movies, like a movie like that, and same thing with like Haunted House. I think it cost like $4 million to make. So a movie can make $20 million and great, you made a profit. So when
but
you make
those
garbage
cheap, comedy,
that's fine.
Though. That's the thing. Like the comedy is garbage.
Well, it's always like just references to other stuff. I mean, I remember going to see, oh god. See, I'm telling you guys, you could jump on me for hating movies all you
but
want.
You've seen, yeah.
I used to be so open minded about stuff. I went on a date to see Date Movie.
Oh boy.
And it was fucking horrible because just references to every other movie. It wasn't. There was no story. I mean, it was, and that's kind of what those movies became, where it's just like a bunch of references to whatever other movies are popular in the
yeah. Spaceballs
lexicon
played
right
off
now.
Of Star Wars, but it could have been its own thing. Like it wasn't like that's a direct ripoff of that. That's a direct ripoff of that. It had a story.
But
in
here's
it.
The fun part. Yeah. See, the reason I'd be on board for Spaceballs because a lot of people brought the fact that like well, you have a lot of the main cast is not around. John Candy has passed away. Joan Rivers, same thing. Rick Moranis semi-retired, although he might very well come back to play Dark Helmet because he's quirky like that. But I get that, but to go by the same concept with a new younger generation in that world and to play off everything, especially the Star Wars fever that's happening right now, I think if it was done very, very carefully, it could work. But if they didn't do it, I wouldn't be disappointed. But I think with all the Star Wars fever right now, the way Star Wars has become so huge, especially now and with a new movie every year, there's so much for them to play off of. I think it actually could be a lot of fun. But if I won't be mad if it doesn't happen.
If they had to make a Star Wars spoof movie, it can only be Spaceballs, because anything else that comes out is going to be complete dog shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whatever the next version of
Space
those
movie
dudes
or whatever.
Yeah,
space, movie. Space movie. That's what they'll call it.
Yeah.
You're exactly right.
Yeah. Star they'll make fun
movie.
Of that.
It's really inventive.
Movie.
Star yeah. Wars, Star Trek, they'll make fun of anything.
Yeah.
I mean, make fun of Avatar all you want. Make a shitty Avatar comedy.
Avatar movie.
I'm on board for that. Yeah. James Cameron movie.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, they're already doing that with Avatar 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. Anyway.
Now, wait a minute.
Hey, hold on a minute. Avatar was a huge achievement in cinema, and I think you guys are being too harsh.
But not just with comedy also. Like, there's now Blade Runner has an announced sequel 36 years later.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like,
what's the matter, Ryan?
Point?
Are you upset?
Nope.
See, I like that movie. I don't love it, but
I'm just
going
to sit here and listen.
Yeah.
I need to.
But what's the
point
now?
Seen it
it's
a
like,
long
well,
time.
Well, Harrison Ford, he wants to play Han Solo. He played Han Solo again. He might play Indiana Jones again. Let him play Decker again. He hasn't played. That movie's 36 years old. At the time, it was a movie that was groundbreaking and amazing.
And there was one. There was one. It's not like Indiana Jones.
No, no, no. There wasn't one. There's like 95 cuts of that movie.
There is, yeah. There's so many versions of that movie.
Ridley Scott can't make up his mind. The final cut. The final, final cut.
Yeah, theatrical cut. Director's cut. The final cut. They're really...
Final cut squared. I mean, it's like just...
That's one of the reasons why I've said I want to watch the movie, because I haven't seen it in years. I watched it at some point when I was in high school.
Yeah.
So, I mean, half my life ago, I watched the movie. I don't remember much about it, but I remember thinking... You know, it's one of those movies that you hear people talk about and you say it's a great movie, it's a great sci-fi movie. I was like, okay. And one of the VHS tapes that was always available in widescreen. It seemed to be the only way it was available. So yeah. I guess that was probably a director's choice kind of thing. But anyway, I don't know which version to watch. Like, there's a part of me that said, and I know Ryan's going to roll his eyes at this pretty hard, but I was just going to buy, like, the current Blu-ray that's out, like the two-disc version that has, like, the three cuts on it and just, like, watch... The final cut, just to check it out and see what it's like.
Yeah, I saw it once.
Because
I don't
apparently
know which
that's
cut
the
I saw.
Final cut. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't know. I must have seen whatever the theatrical version was back in the day. So I don't know which one to watch. But no, I'm with you. Like, what's the call to make a Blade Runner? Like, Blade Runner doesn't mean... I don't want to say it doesn't mean anything now, but it's close to doesn't mean anything. Right beside meaning nothing.
Let it just be what it was back in the day. Just let it stand alone by itself.
Yeah, nobody can do that, though.
Yeah, that's the thing.
If it was ever popular, it needs to happen again.
By itself.
And there's other movies that recently have come out, and there are some that are coming out. Jurassic World. Jurassic World was a perfect sequel to Jurassic Park, but it didn't have a lot to really compete
with. But
there were
two sequels in between.
Well, to me, Jurassic Park is my favorite 90s movie. I love it. It's my favorite 90s movie. They had another book, so they capitalized on it, and they butchered the fucking script and made The Lost World, and it's not a good movie. It's a piece of shit. I watched it this summer before Jurassic World came out, and man, it does not hold up.
I still haven't. I only saw that in the theater, so I don't remember much, and I have never seen 3. But I own the trilogy box set, and I've never watched it.
You should return it. Just buy the Blu-ray of Jurassic Park. It's $5 at Best Buy. I'm
dude,
serious.
I totally...
You get all the features you want for $5.
I should have waited until they had standalone releases and just bought that first one when it came out, because I'm like, I'm never going to watch 2 and 3.
Yeah, when the raptor was talking to Alan on the plane, they totally jumped the dinosaur there.
The third one was just garbage. It was like a horrible monster movie. It was just terrible.
Terrible.
But yeah, they really did strike lightning twice, though, by like a bunch of dinosaurs
loose
in a park with people.
They played off nostalgia. And the director, Colin Trevorrow, I loved his quote for it. Why would you make Jurassic Park 4? And this is essentially the plot of Jurassic World. Because a big greedy corporation wants to make money off of a brand.
Yep.
And that's the plot of Jurassic World, if you think about
it. Yeah, no, it is. It's very
transparent. It's a big greedy corporation. Will, no matter how much money you're going to put out there, they will make the same fucking mistakes twice.
And it worked.
Yeah.
And it worked huge.
And it played off nostalgia. Mm. And it worked. Now there's a sequel to Jurassic World. What are we going to get? The Lost World Jurassic World.
Or Jurassic World, The Lost Park.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll flip-flop it, you know?
I'm in.
I don't know. Well, of course you're in.
I'm in.
But what, what could they do? They're going to go back, and they're going to be like, we got to get these dinosaurs off the island. Oh, my God.
What they're going
to
do.
And then they're going to bring it to a fucking city.
Jack, like, the winged ones got away. They're going to converge on San Francisco, because San Francisco gets destroyed
every
movie
now. Because it's like The Lost World. It's going to go into a major U.S. city, and it's going to wreak havoc. And then Jurassic Park 3, the bird dinosaurs are going to talk to everybody. And it's over.
You mean those things they wrote in Avatar, the bird dinosaurs? Yeah.
I don't agree with you, Jack.
I don't know. I just feel like you've done it. Stop.
Well, in the
quit
same,
while you're ahead.
Look, in the same way
why?
That I've said I have...
What if they make another great movie and then you feel like an asshole
but
in
here's
2 years?
The thing, though. They announced a release date before the movie is even written. Before the idea... Like, you're competing against a release
date. Yeah, they did.
As opposed to maybe taking your time crafting a story. No, it's got to come out June 2018.
I'm with Jack on this one, because, like, it opens Friday, and then Monday they announce the sequel's coming out in 3 years or whatever. It's like...
They have a date.
Yeah.
You're racing against time to create a sequel.
Well, now it's like, it's got to be engineered, and it's going to go through a whole other... It's going to... I don't know. It's a whole other process to say, like, we're doing a sequel right away, everybody. Guess what? It's just kind of weird that they did. I mean, it's also one of those things I thought was strange. Before Deadpool came out, they already announced Deadpool 2. And I thought, well, why not announce it after the success of the first one? Not the week after. Well, wait 2 weeks. And then you'll get people to go see the movie who haven't seen it yet, yeah. because they'll be like, oh, they're going to make another one? Oh, shit. Well, then I better go check this one out. Because this is going
to
be a thing.
Well,
now.
The difference is there's not a release date as of yet for Deadpool 2. So maybe right. there's time to craft. Maybe there's something in the plans. Like, this could be successful. We're opening it at a time where there's not a lot of competition. Deadpool has a big fan base. It might be successful enough to justify a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll work towards it. We'll get something out there. Now it's a bona fide hit. They'll green light it. They did it with Iron Man. Iron Man, the weekend it opened. Iron Man 2 is coming out. What did we get with Iron Man 2? A subpar Iron Man movie.
Yes.
Yeah, but at the same time, if we're talking 3 years between Jurassic Park movies, unless something goes horribly wrong, they're really not going to have to rush.
But there's also honestly, a time where it's
like, a long time.
They could do a process of like Iron Man 2, rewriting the script as the
as they're shooting yeah. it. Yeah, that's happened. That happens on a lot of sequels, unfortunately, where they're up against a wall and they're like, we need to make this date. So look, they wanted to push J.J. Abrams wanted to push Star Wars
yeah.
back to, I think, May or something like
it
that.
It was supposed to be May 2015.
And Disney said no. No, but right. no, they wanted to put. He wanted to push. He didn't want to open this past Christmas. He wanted to open like this spring or summer, and they said no. You were making that December release date.
Right, at the same time, though, that doesn't. They might have put that date out there. That doesn't mean it's going to hold, though.
Well, that's true. That happens all the time.
It's a possibility. In a way, I kind of hope it does. Like if that can only mean maybe it could be production problems, but it could also mean, well, we want to take our time and maybe make a better sequel, so you don't have a bad taste in your mouth like The Lost World did to you in 1997.
Dex really afraid of nostalgia now because yeah, he's yeah. like, remember the badness of the sequel?
Yeah,
I can't deal with that again. Speaking of things that I thought were open and shut, and something else I don't understand the anticipation for, just because I'm not interested anymore because I'm not 14 anymore. The revisiting of Independence Day,
now,
which
this
I know
is
you
gonna
guys
be a
are
debate.
Excited for.
So excited!
I'll
Why?
See it.
What about you?
But I mean, that trailer. Here's the thing: when I saw Independence Day in 1996. It said the end, and I thought, perfect. They don't need to do a sequel. It could be such. I even thought then it would be such an easy way to greenlight a sequel. They
Jack,
come back.
Jack,
did you really think the aliens weren't going to come back?
No, fuck that. Jack did not think of this at 10 years old. You did not think they don't need to do a sequel. I think the story's
no. I'm
bullshit.
Serious.
You
did no, not yeah, think of that no. At 10 I didn't years want a old. Sequel when I saw it. Open and shut case. It's over.
Jack
the
likes
end.
To tell us that he was very so self-aware when he was
no
before
I'm
he
serious.
Hit double digits in age.
I'm serious.
Like I was thinking at the time that they didn't really need to do this with the movie. And no, you
complete.
Weren't.
I have closure with all these main
Jack,
characters.
Jack, you loved
I'm
everything
happy.
You watched when you were
fucking,
9 years old. I promise you, you loved
fucking,
everything.
I fucking loved Independence Day when I saw it when I was 10. But it never needed a sequel. It never did.
Yeah, there was nothing I watched when I was a kid. I was like, man, this sucks. Nothing.
No, I'm not
I loved
it
everything
sucked.
I watched.
No, I absolutely love that movie. I'd love it to this day, but
I know
never thought a sequel would need to happen. It was over and done. I thought it was open and shut.
Well,
they beat the mothership.
It's not,
there was
though.
Nothing else that indicated sequel.
No, it was. Now it's not because they're making another one. It was at the time.
No, it was. It was open and shut. There's the mothership outside the Earth. They destroyed it.
What, like there's just one mothership in this whole
yes!
entire alien
That's
civilization?
What I, yeah. well, there was nothing listen, hinting at a sequel
Ryan,
in 1996.
No, but I wasn't thinking that way at the time
but
either. But
watching the trailer, I'm like, okay, if they're going to make it, it looks like it could work. But seeing that Super Bowl trailer, it looks just like a CGI Transformers.
Are you fucking jackpedaling on this already?
I'm not jackpedaling.
No.
You sound like this is the beginning of a jackpedal.
But it doesn't look like it's going to be that same feel of Independence Day in 1996.
It's not going to have the same feel.
Of where it's going to be a one-of-a-kind movie.
No,
it's
not going to
be
not.
A one-of-a-kind
Listen,
movie.
No, it's not, because in 2016 and for the last umpteen years, there have been event movies every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So this isn't going to stand out the way the first Independence Day did. Like, that was a big deal.
Nor
that,
do I expect it to.
No, I know that, but I'm saying I just don't feel like it's going to have the same effect, because it Super Bowl in 1996,
it's not going
which...
to.
Shut up. God damn it.
I'm agreeing with you.
I'm acting like this is my show now. Shut
I'm
up.
I'm agreeing with
All
you.
Right, you are. But listen, 20 years ago, I guess it would have been Super Bowl 30, when all they showed was a commercial, and it was just alien ship over the White House shooting a laser, the White House blows up, Independence Day, July. I was like, holy shit! Freaked everybody out, because nobody had ever seen anything like that before. When that movie came out, everybody I know went to see it, fucking July 2nd or something, because they kept
yeah.
moving it up a few days. And we all went to
I
see
was
it. And it was
standing
a big
in line,
deal.
Wrapped around the theater.
Yeah, because there hadn't been anything like that. And now there's a big special effects extravaganza.
Not even opening on July 4th.
Yeah,
it's
right?
opening in June.
It's, yeah, but at the same
that's
time.
That's the thing that pisses me off.
It's opening like June 27th or something, though.
It's close
not
enough.
Far off. But it's not like it's opening
you,
in.
You can,
like,
you can go see it on 4th of July if you want.
I probably will.
This St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. Independence Day. Yeah. The sequel.
It's not like they're completely missing the boat on it, yeah. Jack. Missing the mothership on it. But I just feel like it doesn't have the same novelty that it did. Not that it has to.
It's not going to.
But 20 years later, it's just going to be another...
Same thing.
It's just going to be another by-the-numbers kind of summer movie. Like, you can't even call it event movies anymore because these movies open. Like, literally every two weeks.
You can't.
Especially during the summer, it's become a fucking battleground when it comes to movies
it
being
is.
Released.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But I just don't...
But
I don't know.
Bill Pullman's
not...
back, and Jeff Goldblum is back, and that's all I fucking need.
See... The difference is that's not well. It's all you need. It's not enough for me.
That's fine.
I mean, look. I will say I want to suck off the unicorn that Judd Hirsch has been sucking off because he looks the same as he did 20 years
Doesn't
ago.
Doesn't he?
Yeah. So I do.
What
I want to find
fuck?
That unicorn. I want to milk its prostate and drink that shit because I don't know
Take
how
it.
He.
You gotta try this unicorn milk.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Fuck it. Jeff Goldblum looks like his father now. Yeah.
What's this? What happened?
Penis? I look like a schlemiel.
Yeah, but it's. It looks like it's going to be fun, but it also doesn't look like anything special.
This is Jack Pedal in progress.
No. It is. Now, for those who don't know, for those who haven't followed the 230 hours or however many hours of the only podcast that matters, we coined the term Jack Pedal, which basically has to do with Jack going to see a movie, enjoying a movie, speaking well of it, and then 2 weeks later referring to it as 98 minutes of
but
his
what
life
this
he'll
might
never
be, this
back.
Might be the first ever Jack Pedal before the movie even comes
but
out.
But that can't be a Jack Pedal, though, because he's
it could
no,
be.
No, but
yeah.
I'm not
this
overly
a,
excited
a Jack
about
Pedal,
an Independence
Jack
Day
Pedal.
Sequel. It looks like as good
you,
as they can make
you
it.
You were so excited when you first heard news of this. And when you first saw the trailer, you were still so
yeah, but
excited.
Dude, that's not and a Jack Pedal. Like, he was excited about Batman v Superman as well, but now he's...
I
not,
just don't think
not as excited.
No, I'm gonna see. I'm not saying I'm not gonna see it. I'm gonna see.
You're goddamn right. You're gonna.
I'm gonna see,
see
it. I'm gonna see it with you, and I'm gonna sit a couple seats away from you, so don't you know.
Yeah, I got to wear a raincoat because my eyes just be coming all over the place.
Yeah, like I don't know what that's like going to see Star Wars with you. Yeah.
Okay, there's a point.
Yeah,
you guys will be even.
Yeah. Ha
ha. But it doesn't look like it's gonna be anything special, and I hope that what they can make out of it is a really good sequel, not just, well, we made it because you liked the first one 20 years ago.
Well, that's the thing with me when it comes to, and that was my fear when it came to Jurassic World, where is it, or the massive success, I should say, of Jurassic World, where is it just going to be, let's breathe life into these old franchises? Because apparently, like we've seen already since the success of Deadpool these last few weeks, where everyone's like, yeah, we're all going to make R-rated comic book movies now. It's the same thing, like with Jurassic World being a big hit and being a property that has been dormant for, what, like 14 years? Wasn't Jurassic Park 3 like 2001?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it had been a long time since it was a Jurassic Park movie. Obviously, it's been a long time since Independence Day movie. All those have been in the works for a little while. This isn't a direct effect of the success of Jurassic World, yeah. But is this going to be a case of we're going to breathe life into old properties? Like, are we going to get a Clueless 2 now? Yeah. I mean, there are offshoots I've heard about. Like, there's been talk
Men
for
in Black
a while.
4? Like, are we going to do that again? Are
well,
we
gonna they're
year?
Already working on a reboot for Men in Black.
Yeah,
but
not interested.
But something, I mean, like a spinoff thing. I think they kind of missed the boat on is like Mean Moms, which is going to be like Mean Girls, but revolving around moms. And I'm thinking,
nope.
I think it's too late.
No.
Like Mean Girls was 12 years ago. I don't think you're going
to
bring
it loses
aside
its
the
relevance.
Fact,
you have to do a sequel within like 4 or 5 years, or else it's just nobody cares.
Yeah.
If it's a one-off thing.
I agree. Look, I even said it about Avatar. Like, Avatar was huge in 2009 into 2010. I don't think anybody... By the time it comes out in 2018, I just don't think anyone's... It's going to be 9 years since the first one.
If it comes out in 2018.
Exactly, yeah, because Jim Cameron works at his own pace, according to anonymous sources. Yeah. But we're not surprised. Look, what? It was 12 years between Titanic and Avatar, so we can't be surprised. But I just don't think it's going to... I just don't know if people are interested. I think there's a certain amount of time where... People aren't going to go. Like, if it's 20 years, maybe people will go for nostalgia. Like, for something like Jurassic. I think it was a lot of it had to do with Jurassic World was nostalgia for us as adults because we saw Jurassic Park when we were kids. And also kids seeing a movie with dinosaurs that they, again, something like the cassette thing, something they hadn't seen. Because there haven't been any dinosaur movies since 2001, and these kids weren't even fucking an itch in their daddy's pants, as Murtaugh said. So they don't know from a big dinosaur movie, so it's their Jurassic Park.
And that
could
happen
got
this summer with
that.
Independence Day. People could be like, hey, I saw Independence Day.
It could. Yeah. But at the same time, in 2016, where we've had Guardians of the Galaxy and a huge Star Wars movie and stuff like a movie about aliens. I mean, aliens trying to kill us is a different story, I guess, than just movie about us fighting aliens. But not that far off. I just don't know. I don't think it's going to resonate the same. I mean, maybe it will. I could be completely wrong. But I, for something like that, I think it might work because there's been a period of time for nostalgia. For something like the aforementioned Zoolander 2 or whether it's Avatar or whatever, I just think there's a certain amount of time where if you don't pull the trigger on a sequel within however, like I'm with you, like maybe within 4 years, then you can do it.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like you don't need to suddenly turn, like the fact that they're now 20 years later turning Independence Day into a trilogy just seems kind of weak.
The only thing I am kind of pissed about is the whole flop over Mae Whitman, who played Bill Pullman's daughter in the original movie.
Yeah, that's kind of...
And she wanted to play the role again in this movie, and they turned her down because they were looking for a more conventionally pretty girl.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of...
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I didn't know about that.
Really fucked up. She was all about doing it, and she wanted in, and they're like, no, sorry.
Yeah, they got that hot blonde from that movie It Follows to play his daughter.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is either.
Yeah. Offhand, I don't know.
Right. But it's another generic... Blonde.
Hot blondes grow on trees where I live, Jack.
Mae Whitman's, she's a good actress.
She's a great actress.
I think she's fucking cute, so yeah. I don't see what the issue is.
I saw that movie, The Duff with her song. It was a good movie.
Yeah. But yeah.
Oh, I know who you're talking about now. Okay.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. So yeah.
Sorry you had to bring up The Duff for me to be like, I know that chick.
Oh, yeah, I know.
No,
her.
But I was like, I know the name, but I couldn't think of
she
something
was on that
she
show, Parenthood.
In. That's it.
That
yeah. I know who she, like, now that you're, now that I could put a face to the name because you mentioned a movie she was in, I'm like, oh, of course.
Yeah.
But okay. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that.
So like that
they're going for
me.
The Hunger Games vibe because they have Liam Hemsworth in it and they want to make that maybe we can get some of those
let's get some house people in this movie.
That post-apocalyptic teen crowd into a movie where aliens take over the world and destroy it.
I don't know, man, that could drag it down. Liam Hemsworth can't act.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's be honest.
I mean, they were smart enough to kill him in The Expendables 2 pretty early. So
yeah, that was a good move.
Don't act like you weren't upset by that.
I wasn't.
You said
I mean,
you weren't.
Well,
no.
Look, he's not surrounded by thespians anyway in that series, but that's what we're going to see. Like, it's not like this movie's got Chuck Norris in it and Liam Hemsworth the weak link. Like, we can't
Chuck
really...
Norris was the best part of that movie.
Yeah.
I beg to differ.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Yeah. But that was awesome anyway.
I don't know. I'm with you, though. Nostalgia works with some things, like inexplicable to us, like why the Gilmore Girls thing is a big deal, why cassettes are suddenly a thing,
and why nostalgia is going to work with Ecto Cooler when that shit gets
that's in, no mystery
and when that shit gets into my belly.
But here's Ecto Cooler was made for like 10 years though, like that was made well into the 90s.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like it was released in 89 when Ghostbusters 2 came out and then you couldn't find it anywhere,
right?
Like there was a lot of kids that grew up drinking Ecto Cooler. That was in a lot of lunch boxes when we were going to
school.
Now
that's a franchise that I'm very happy is getting a reboot finally, because for years wanted Ghostbusters 3 with the original cast.
I'm really happy that you're excited about this movie.
Why wouldn't I be excited about this movie?
I don't know. In the beginning, I was like, "Oh, Chris is going to hate this."
With you being so hardcore in the original, I would have thought you might have been more against
that
it.
That I would have been against it.
Yeah, to be honest, if I would have thought the same thing about
if
you.
If it's not going to happen with the originals, just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. But what Paul Feig has shown.
But the thing is that nothing is going to get ruined about the original Ghostbusters. Nobody can ever take that away from you or from the world. And this is not going to.
Doesn't tarnish the originals. Yeah. And I understand a lot of people getting, not bent out of shape, but people want it to be a continuation and have it exist in the universe where the first two happened. But I like that they're making it its own thing, because then if you make it a continuation, it affects the previous movies, whereas if you make it its own thing, it doesn't. It's going to stand alone.
But aren't the original cast members going to be like Ray Stans? And...
I don't know. They all did a day on the movie, so I don't know what it is. It's just one of those things, I've talked about it. Maybe I've even talked about on the show, where I just don't want it to take us out of the movie. Where you're like, hey, Bill Murray. You know, when you see him come on screen. Hey, Sigourney Weaver. Hey, it's Winston. Whatever his name is. You know, I don't want it to pull people out of the movie. Which is, that's one of the things that concerns me. We're like, are the cameos going to be discreet? Are they going to be like, you know, like they did it with, it was incredibly well done with Simon Pegg's role in Star Wars and Daniel Craig's role. Like those were cameos, even though they were legitimate parts, but like it didn't pull you out like, hey, it's James Bond.
But
he's setting her free.
Yeah, on the opposite end that we talked about, though, you don't want it to be too discreet too, where it's one of those things where if you blink and you miss it, like Bill Murray's walking in a crowd of people and he's got a trench coat and a hat on. And you really have to look. They're like, hey, where's Bill Murray? I know he's supposed to be in this. And you're like watching for it the whole time.
Right.
You know, I don't want it to be that way either.
You should be invested in the new characters enough to where when that comes, it's like, oh, holy shit, there's Bill Murray.
But I want to fucking see them in the movie. Yeah, no, I want to see it.
I agree. I agree.
The fact that at least they got the three of them, I want to see it.
It's also like the thing is, and that fucking stupid fanboys are getting so mad about with this movie.
I fucking hate that. You're ruining my childhood. It looks nothing like it's not doing any
damage.
But no,
it doesn't ruin anything. But here's, I can understand people being upset if they were all set to go with the third one and then they pulled the plug on it and said, nah, we want to redo it. It's going to be all women. Like the third one wasn't going to happen. It was never going to happen. It was never going to happen. It was back. I mean, if you ask Dan Aykroyd, it was always going to happen. But you know, he's always kind of been
he believes in aliens
ghost,
too.
Yeah,
so.
He's been flying the Ghostbusters flag. But it was never going to happen. So the fact that Harold Ramis died and now it really is never going to happen. If they want to do something with it, that's fine. Personally, I've throttled back on my not anger, but my disapproval, my outright disapproval of remakes. Because, number one, very rarely do the remakes ever make much of a dent, which can be said, I feel, particularly when it comes to horror movies, whether it's Carrie or Prom Night or like all these Halloween, all these other properties where like they remade them and they were barely even a blip on a radar. But
a third reboot of
I feel like,
Friday the 13th pending.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening with that. I think they pulled the plug on that too. Or yeah. It's being rewritten or something. It was going to be a found footage thing. And I was like, interesting angle, but you're 6 years too late on found footage. But I used to just outrightly like dismiss, just like, nope, shouldn't be doing remakes. Now I kind of get it. I mean, certain stuff that should be untouchable, The Godfather, leave it alone. Jaws, leave it alone. Back to the Future, leave it alone. Like, there's certain things where it's like, you don't need to reinvent that because, and I'm not even going to play the cash grab card because no one's ever made a movie with the hope it was going to lose money. So it's not like it's a bunch of people trying to make money. Well, no shit. That's what everybody's doing. Yeah. Everybody who has a fucking pulse is trying to make money. So it's not because of that. It's just it doesn't take away from the original. And especially if it's been 20 or 30 years and there's a whole generation that hasn't seen the original, then yeah, why not? I mean, shit, they're remaking Ben-Hur. Have you seen Ben-Hur?
No.
Have you seen Ben-Hur, Ryan?
No.
Okay. So nobody who's...
But that's going to be lost on people. Like, who gives a fuck about seeing a Ben-Hur movie?
Yeah, and if
no, that's lost on me as an adult. Yeah.
If a remake or even a sequel is not directly affecting what you believed in the first movie, then who cares?
Yeah. I mean, I think sequels do that more than reboots do.
Right.
Like, listen.
So in the way that, like, in Scream 3, when you found out that there's, like, Neve Campbell's long-lost brother that killed her mother.
Exactly.
And when you thought that it was Billy Loomis in the first movie, and so it ruined everything you
believed. Yeah, it retroactively ruins the
whole series, the series up to that point. So I'm like, that was really fucking stupid. So that I understand that how a sequel ruined the whole plot of the first two movies that came before it.
Oh, that even happened, dude. I never
Matrix
saw
Matrix Revolutions.
Yes, I never saw the third Matrix movie. I saw the Matrix Reloaded. Fucking opening night, strong-armed by friends to go see it. No, I didn't. I saw the Matrix. I missed it in the theaters. I rented it when it came out. Rented it from Blockbuster and watched it. It didn't do much for me. And then friends of mine were really excited for the second and third one. And again, that was, what, like 98? And the sequel came out in 02? So that was fine. 4 years. So they did strike while the iron was still room temperature. But people were interested when they were doing The Matrix Reloaded and then doing a third one where it's just like, oh, you're getting two more
all
of these movies.
All within the same year.
Yeah, that was fine. Like, people were excited about that. Went and saw watched Matrix again before seeing Reloaded because I thought, well, we're going to go see this movie, so let me just watch this again. And actually enjoyed Matrix a second time, having watched it again. Went and saw Matrix Reloaded, and I was like, well, now Matrix is ruined for me because Neo just becomes Superman. Mm-hmm. He's just flying around saving
and the
people.
The third one destroyed it.
I didn't even see the third one.
Oh, it was atrocious. Because
the second one was so... That was a tough watch for
atrocious
me.
Atrocious piece of
That's
shit.
One of those movies I would have walked out of, but I thought everybody else was enjoying it. There are a few of those in my life. That's Matrix Reloaded is with Bringing Down the House. In that category of like, I thought you were enjoying it, I would have left. But anyway. Let's steer a little bit past movies as they tend to dominate. What else? What other nostalgia is troubling you? Jack, you have a whole list of things that have been affecting you. And rather than harp on franchises and sequels, as much as we can, I mean,
could go on for days.
Well, there is a lot to talk right now in the current climate. I mean, that's why we're bringing it up, because there's a lot going on. There's actually a lot of not rehashing, but trying to breathe new life into franchises.
I just feel like people who are our age are just so crazy about getting back. And I think maybe this is every generation about getting back to where they were, like their youth of like 20 years ago, like elementary school age of like, oh, I miss doing this and everything else. And they just.
I don't think so. I think this is a new. I think this is a. We've reached a turning point with, I'm going to say specifically Generation X, because they're older, so they've been in power, let's say, a little bit longer when it comes to buying all the figures we're surrounded by here in Ryan's Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Well, I can't fault him for that. Nerd cave. Same exact thing.
Nerd cave. Well, no, I'm just saying, like, these things exist because people want to hang on to childhood. Like, there was a point where once upon a time, when you were a man, and you left childhood things behind, essentially.
Yeah,
whereas
fuck
now,
that.
Yeah, whereas now everyone's literally in a state of arrested development, whether it's, you know, grown men lining up to get the new, I don't know, Mass Effect or Assassin's Creed or whatever, like whatever video game's happening in Call of Duty. I don't know what the I was gonna say the kids are playing now.
Whatever the
know.
Kids are playing.
I don't know. I don't know what the 30 somethings are playing now. But really, there's a point where it's not even revisiting. It's never actually outgrowing anything from our childhood.
Oh yeah,
which
absolutely.
I agree. Look, I'm never guilty outgrew. Of it too. Yeah. I still wear t-shirts and jeans on a daily basis, so it's not like I, you know, there's a point where I turned the corner. I was just like, no, man, this is all khakis for me. I haven't worn jeans since I was in high school. Are you kidding? Yeah. No, I'm not throwing stones at it. I'm just saying I really think we're still very much at the beginning of this era where we're not revisiting so much as we're not outgrowing our youth.
We're celebrating more things, like how Ryan and I are collectors of toys and stuff like that and nostalgia. We love that stuff. I'm talking about more kids who are of a lazier generation of just like, oh, and like you can put something on Facebook of like, I remember doing this as a kid. If you had this, this was your childhood, was awesome. And that kind of like, it's lazy. Like they just don't want to, there's no ambition to do anything. So they just reminisce about
like go outside.
Yeah. Like go outside or.
Well, let's ask the question here. If you had this technology when you were a kid, you don't think you'd be this fucking lazy? Cause I know I would have.
We all would have.
If it was like this in the early 1990s, we'd be just as equally fucking lazy. I guarantee you that.
Totally. No, if we, listen,
it's because that technology is available and it makes everybody lazy. So everyone would be if it was like this 20 years ago.
We also had it. We have a basis of comparison, though, because internet became commonplace pretty much when, I mean, Jack, you're a few years younger than Ryan and I, but like when we were in high school, Ryan, that's when everybody had AOL in their house.
Right.
So there was internet, but before that,
had that, but
yeah, I mean,
it wasn't enough. If I had a Samsung phone and a computer to sit at all day when I was nine, you think I ever would have went outside?
No
fucking way.
I wouldn't have either. I mean,
no
look,
way.
I had Super Nintendo. I enjoyed playing it, but I still want to go out and ride my bike.
Right.
But in the winter, it was handy to have F-Zero.
But still weren't as connected as you are now, and that connection makes it less imperative to go outside.
And we're all guilty of that. It's not just kids. We're all wrapped up.
It has nothing to do with age.
Yeah, our daily lives have changed so drastically.
Like, nobody's ever going to be able to grow out of this.
No.
At this point. It doesn't matter how old you get.
No, this is it. We're marked. We're branded. This is permanent right now. I agree with you. I think there's a point where, for kids, it's all they know. And that's why I think this tangible stuff is appealing to them. Mm-hmm. Because all they've known is digital stuff, and when they see, like, oh, an album can be an album, whether it's on a record or on cassette or whatever, like, I can own this. It's not just I click a button and, you know, it's on my device. Now it's like I can buy an album. And look, if they're having the same experience I had as a kid where I'd buy a cassette or a CD and I'd get home and I'd put it on and I'd be flipping through the booklet or the insert or whatever and looking at it, reading every page and reading the thank yous and the lyrics and look at the pictures, whatever. If they're having that experience.
Work for the enjoyment kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like,
instead of just clicking the button and then just having a little, you know, 500 by 500 screen or icon, I should say, on the screen of their device and just listening to the album, it's like, well, if it gives them a fuller appreciation for it, hey.
And there's certain ways of doing things are gone nowadays, like going to a record store, going to a video store on a Friday night, picking out a movie. Instant gratification right then and there. Like, just sit on the couch.
Oh, yeah.
What's on Netflix? Nothing. Okay. What's on this? Nothing.
There never
okay.
really is anything on Netflix.
Yeah. Oh, there. Then you're boring. There's so much shit on Netflix.
Yeah, we live in such an era right now where there's so much
television. TV shows there are.
Television
all the movies
is so
are awful.
No, they're not. What are you talking about? There are plenty of movies. Well, look, aside from that, because everybody's gotten so used to streaming, I'll give you an example. Like, recently I went to the Redbox, which I not that I try to avoid it, but I don't enjoy standing in line at a kiosk. I especially hate standing behind the person who has no idea what any movie is and is tapping every single one.
There's always, and it's all it has to be is one person. There's always one person in front of you. It's not really a line. It's just they don't know what they're doing. Don't know what they're looking for.
And they don't know any movie. They need to tap on every single fucking movie. It's like, how can you not? How have you not heard of any of these?
You know, you can look up on your smartphone what's in stock at a Redbox
before
you go.
Well, at the same time, why do you want
to
rent a movie?
That's what we do. Like, Jen and I want to get a movie. We look up exactly what Redbox we're going to and what they have in stock there and decide what we want to see.
For sure.
So we go and we pick it out and we leave.
I'll look up
instead of standing there for 20 minutes.
If what I want to see is available, at Redbox, then I'll look up and see what location it's available in. If it's available nearby, I will go get it. But I kind of like that now, aside from that asshole who apparently hates movies because they don't even know what's out or what it's about, I like that there are certain studios who are only releasing movies. Here's a recent example, like Bridge of Spies. In the Redbox, it's on DVD only. And a lot of, I mean, for years, like rental discs, even DVDs didn't have the features and everything, or Blu-rays didn't have the features. They were just the movie. I get that. And I get the fact that if you want to rent this movie, if you want to see this movie and pay $1.50 for it, you can watch the movie and you're going to watch it in standard definition. If you want to see an HD, you can order through on demand or through Amazon or Xbox or whomever. So I kind of get that where it's like, well, if you want to get it for a lower price, okay, here's what you're going to get. Which is fine. I rented Our Brand is Crisis because I missed it in the theater, and all they have is a DVD, and it had no features on it. So I was like, all right, $1.50, I get to watch the movie. I got what I wanted.
Yeah.
And I paid for it, so if I want to see an HD, fine. I'll buy it, or I'll have to rent it, or whatever. Which
how was that movie?
It, of course. I really liked it. It seemed funnier now because we're in an election year and all the kind of stuff that's going on, and you see how, which will be discussed sooner rather than later, I'm sure. But the fact that they're talking about the way a campaign's run and what it takes to get ahead in the polls and the strategies employed. I mean, it is based on something real, but at the same time, it's kind of oh God, what's the word I'm looking for? Not parody. It's kind of
satire.
Satire. Thank you so much. I could not think of the word to save my life. Because of what they're doing to have this to make this election happen, take this candidate who's not connecting with anybody and try to bring him to the head of the polls and make him president. Mm-hmm. It's pretty funny the way it goes into everything and how, what tactics are used. And it's funny.
Sounds like a wag the dog kind of thing.
In a way, yeah. You know what? There are a lot of ways where it was reminiscent of wag the dog. And I liked it. It was probably, it didn't do well, but it was also a tough movie to market because it's like a bunch of people in Bolivia trying to elect a president who nobody likes.
Right.
That doesn't scream blockbuster.
No.
So it was a tough, and also because it alternates between Spanish and English a lot of the movie, because obviously they're in a country where English isn't the first language. So that also makes it hard to cut a trailer and really sell the story and sell all the characters aside from Sandra Bullock and Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah.
So I really like the movie. Yeah, like if you enjoyed something like Wag the Dog.
Mm-hmm. I did.
Yeah. Then you'd probably enjoy this. And I found it even funnier with the fact that every week this everything that's going on in the election gets more and more circus like that it's pretty damn funny.
Yeah.
But anyway, see, I like that. That's one of those evolutionary things where I think, okay, this is good. Like if you want to pay $1.50 to see a movie, okay, but you're just gonna see the movie and you're gonna see it in standard definition.
Right.
I like
nothing wrong with that.
I think that's good. Because like, okay, well you can rent it for $5 if you want to see it in HD. Like that's fine. You're getting what you pay for. I kind of like that aspect of it.
Or even in standard definitions, like $2.99, it's like double the cost of what you would get at a Redbox.
But you got to make the trip. And I'm fine with that. I realize it doesn't play too much into nostalgia, but it's one of those things where I don't know. I don't think physical stuff's ever going to completely go away because, I mean, look, when it comes to nostalgia, I'm sure Jack's probably similarly aware of this as I am. I mean, you have companies like Shout Factory or their horror label Scream Factory, who are reissuing collector's editions of all these movies on Blu-ray, loaded, stuffed to the gills with special features. I just got the Army of Darkness collector's edition, which has all three versions of the movie on it, hours of features, including new stuff. And I'm like, I'll cut your gizzard out. That always makes Jack crack out that line. But I was like, this is fucking awesome because I got Army of Darkness on Blu-ray a couple of years ago and paid the $10 for it. And it's got, you know, like one feature on it that's forgettable and the theatrical cut of the movie. And that's kind of it. So the fact that now there's a label that's releasing it. And yeah, it was like $20 to buy it. But at the same time, it was like, good, because people like me who are still buying physical media are willing to pay for something that's a quality product. So it looks great. It sounds great. It's loaded with features. Cool.
There'll
always be
an audience for that.
Well,
nostalgia or just be, I really like this movie. I want to own everything about it. Let me get this ultimate collector's
box. It'll come and go.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's
physical media thing. And then people get tired of having to hold things and bring things to places. And they'll be like, my iPod's fine. And then they'll be like, yeah, wait a minute. I kind of miss having those CDs.
Well, physical media is dying and everything's going digital.
There'll be cycles.
One of my coworkers,
and everyone's buying records again.
One of my coworkers went to a Target and asked them, because she goes to the gym and still uses CDs. Her CD player died after, I don't know, it had to be over 10 years at this point.
I think so.
Got a new CD player. The clerk at the electronics, I said, don't even really know what that is. I'm sorry. It must be like an 18, 19 year old kid was like, I don't think we have, like, they thought it was a boombox.
They like, weren't thinking in terms of a portable CD player?
Yeah, like a portable CD player. It's like, I don't, like, didn't even really know.
Does not compute.
Yeah.
Listen, kids, back in the day, and look, I've made old man jokes a number of times in the show about, like, once upon a time, we read a newspaper. It was like if someone printed, you know, printed out Google News.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Encyclopedia Britannica was like Wikipedia on paper and bound. So, yeah, I make old man cracks about, like, well, this is what it was like. But I really think things are turning the corner when it comes to a lot of this stuff because, you know, now it's there's a market for it. At the same time, by the way, just to get back on the Blu-ray kick for a second, I get mad because, like, the second and third Naked Gun movies just came out on Blu-ray, and whereas the DVDs have some special features on them, the Blu-rays have nothing but the movie at all. And I'm like, okay, so now, or they did it with Team America. That's another one. It's a theatrical cut, and none of the features, none of the fun stuff from the DVD is on there. And it's like, great. So anybody who would want to buy this Blu-ray isn't gonna because it's not as good as the version we already have. Even though it's in HD, it's like, well, I'm not going to spend $10 on it because I'm not getting something that's superior to what I already have.
Yeah, most DVDs you put in a Blu-ray player and it will come out pretty clear anyway.
Well, yeah, even something from that, I think Team America came out like 05 on DVD. I remember it came out on October 15th, 2004. I was fucking counting down to that day, boy. I could not wait until that movie came out. I was there. I left work early to see that movie the day it opened because I'm a fucking freak. But, yeah, in a case like that, I'm like, well, why is it then? Why are you releasing it if you're not buying something that's equivalent to what's available? P.S. Also, a movie that's on Netflix, like the Naked Gun movies.
Yeah.
So someone's going to buy the Blu-ray. Chances are you want to make it worth it for them to pay to buy a physical version rather than just streaming it and you making portions of pennies.
It's also like obsidian because Ryan is not one of those people who buys the Blu-rays for the 19 for special features, and he just wants the movie itself.
Features.
You're one who would be more inclined to be like, I want everything. And if I buy a movie on DVD, like, I want everything. I want to learn about it because I love film and everything else. But
even if you're not going to watch it, though, at least you know, like, you're not paying just to get the movie. Like, that's the difference between someone who's going to stream something or illegally download something and someone who actually cares enough to want to buy it. I mean, nobody ever was pissed of just like, I know people who bought DVDs and never watched the features, but I don't know anybody who just complained just like, you know what? I can't believe I'm paying $15 for a DVD and it's got features on it. This is bullshit. Like, nobody who bought a DVD ever complained like, yeah, but it's got special features. They just didn't watch them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I realize the physical media isn't as big of a deal, but I'm like, why are you not just porting over everything that already exists from the DVD? Like, I can't imagine you did like, you know, this isn't like the James Bond box set that came out where like they went back to the original negative and scanned them in again and had a new restoration. You're not doing that with Naked Gun 2.5 as much as I'd like you to do.
I mean, I don't know. Like, if I was a kid now and there were like $5 DVDs in a store, like, I would lose my mind. If I was a fan of, like, if I was myself now, I'd be like, oh my God, these are all $5 because as a kid.
Oh yeah.
Like, you had to buy something on VHS and there's only select movies that got released to purchase and bring home with you. The rest were rentals.
Yeah.
And you could buy the tape for like $200. But
because it was a rental copy. Yeah.
Became like an eventual store release 2-3 years later.
I remember this.
So I would lose my mind if like, oh, this is $5? This is $5?
I guess it must have been like 1999. So this is before everything came out on DVD, when VHS was still the primary format, the most common format, I should say. And I went into a Suncoast Video and wanted to order Analyze This because I wanted to give it to my dad for Christmas. And it wasn't available for sale. I mean, I could have waited and then maybe gotten a previously viewed version from Blockbuster for like $15 or $10 or whatever it was they sold previously viewed VHS tapes for. But I wanted to get it for my dad because we rented it. And it's one of the movies I've seen him laugh the hardest at. And I wanted to get him a physical version. And yeah, they said, we can order it for you, but it's like $89. I was like, oh, shit.
Mm.
Like, that existed once upon a time. I mean, shit, we have a Sears catalog from when I was, maybe I was 5, so it's from 1986 or something. And because not a lot of stuff was available on VHS at that time, VCRs weren't even as common as they became. I remember Gone with the Wind was a 2-cassette collection, and it was like over $100. Like, it was a big deal. Just the fact that something was released on... Yeah. I mean, the first movie I bought that wasn't a Disney movie was the 1989 Batman movie.
I remember when Titanic came
now,
out.
Now, VHS
in the late 90s.
Comes back out. That's going to be really fucking weird. Yeah. If that makes it. If that, like, cassettes, that'd be weird.
I'm slightly hoping for that with the Hateful Eight. Like a
two disc VHS.
With the Roadshow version. I would love that just as a novelty. That'd
with no medium for you to actually watch it.
I don't know. I still.
I have a VCR.
Do you really?
Yeah.
And it works?
Yeah.
My sister does. She has it. She has a dual deck from, I don't know, maybe like 8 years ago that she bought. You know, DVD player VCR combo.
Yeah.
It's like if I bought a VHS, I'd have a means to watch it, but I wouldn't go out of my way.
Holy shit.
I mean, but again, if they start making them, look, just like the like a Walkman or portable CD player or, you know, whatever the fuck. Or turntables are now sold everywhere. So just like that, if VHS tapes come back, VCRs will come back too.
I debated plugging that in and watching because I have the original versions of the Star Wars trilogy on VHS. I'm like, well, these will never be on Blu-ray anytime soon. So I want to see them again.
There's a point.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. It's worth it to keep for stuff like that. Well, I mean, that series is, when it comes to whether or not it's getting released,
For the love of God, just release it.
I don't know. It's rumored.
It's been rumored forever.
I know it's been rumored to
since
happen.
Since the invention of a movie on disc, it's been rumored.
Since Laserdisc, they've been talking about. No, maybe they got released on Laserdisc, actually.
They did, and they were the original versions. God damn it, George. Well, it's not a definitive version. Shut up. This isn't yours anymore.
Yeah, well, now that it's not, that's the thing. Yeah. I don't know if he has, it's either maybe a clause in something like that where he has to approve it. Maybe not. Maybe he doesn't have to.
Yeah, he sold his company.
Well, actually, yeah, he didn't have any say in Force Awakens, did he? So maybe.
No, he just bitched about it afterwards. People made a Star Wars movie that people liked.
He tried to do something new with the prequels is what he was saying.
Yeah.
And that this movie is they went for nostalgia and he didn't approve of that. But the difference is people like these.
Yeah.
So, people like this
one.
You
have to be reassured that, hey, we're going to take care of you.
This isn't going to be made entirely on a soundstage in Century City.
Nope. And they're filming episode 8 as of right now in real locations. Go figure.
That's Jack's erection hitting the table.
Yep.
There it is. He's so excited. I love that all they did was just say they're filming it and people have gone apeshit. That's one of the things that makes me laugh. Like, there's nothing in that little, in that announcement clip that was released. They give you nothing.
No.
But everyone's going crazy like, oh my God, you know episode 8's coming out. You know when it's coming out. This is not a surprise. It's just so funny how people get that. I guess, but it's like, you know when you're getting episode 8. You're getting a Star Wars movie a year for the next 5 years, so everyone needs to shut the fuck up. Everyone needs to calm down. You're getting a Star Wars movie every Christmas.
And that's until all I do for Christmas.
What, 2020, 2019?
Wow.
2020, right?
Yeah, 2019 will be episode 9, and then who knows what they're going to do after
An
that.
Anthology film will probably be 2020.
Oh, yeah.
So there we go. Yeah, Star Wars never went away, so that doesn't count as nostalgia.
No, it can continue.
That's true.
That's the story that gets passed down from generation to generation.
Yeah, that's something. It's like Star Trek. Star Trek never goes away. Star Trek always exists.
You're not playing on, it's not nostalgia. Like, hey, remember that Star Wars thing 20 years ago? We should do that. People want to make Star Wars because...
Right.
People love Star Wars and want it to continue.
It's like Marvel's never going to go away either.
No.
Like, it's just going to keep going and going, and they're going to transition characters out.
And that's the thing with the superhero movies nowadays. Oh, there's too many. It's like, you know what? This is a time. There were also, back in the day, too many Westerns.
Too many
military movies.
Totally.
Too many musicals. Too many horror movies. It's like, eventually, everything comes in cycles where...
There's always too much of something.
Yeah. Now, everything's a wave. In the 70s, it was all like... brooding serious movies, and Star Wars in a lot of ways was the antithesis of that. That's why it did
made
so well
fun.
Because you had movies that were really serious. You had stuff like Godfather and Taxi Driver and, you know, these movies that
French
were
Connection
more
and,
these movies that were more gritty and serious. In the 80s it was all cop movies that everybody enjoyed, whether it was Die Hard or Lethal Weapon or Beverly
and you
Hills
got
Cop
one
and,
big movie a year from, like, I look at 77 to 85 as like my favorite era of sci-fi because you get Star Wars, Alien, E.T. Indiana Jones, Back to the Future, Ghostbusters, anything and everything. And that 8 years was the golden era of sci-fi movies.
And now there's something for everybody. Look, and having stayed with my parents for a while, like, there's a local channel out of New Jersey that I guess must go out of state to some degree. It's just like the tri-state area.
Channel 3 shows, like all like all,
I don't know what number it is, but they have it on like clockwork every day because Gunsmoke's on every afternoon for 2 hours. And
like
I say
Hogan's Heroes and Gilligan's Island and all those shows.
Yeah, they show all these old shows and it's just like Gunsmoke.
It's Nick at Night.
1 o'clock, Gunsmoke. 2 o'clock, Gunsmoke. 3 o'clock, Bonanza. And I say the same thing about superhero movies. Oh, why does everything need to be superheroes right now? I said, this is the era when you guys grew up, it was all Westerns. So it was John Wayne had a movie once a year. You know, Clint Eastwood did a couple. And on TV, what was on every night? Westerns.
And people can make the argument, oh, I don't see any difference between any of these superhero movies. Can't see a difference between any fucking Western movies either.
No, you can't. So it's just...
Those movies are literally all the same.
Yes.
As a person who... As my father, who loves Western movies, they're the same goddamn thing.
Sheriffs and outlaws and Indians and...
You're not going to take my land.
Yeah. Battling over land.
I take what I want. Well... Rustle up a posse. We're going to go get him.
Yeah.
That's every fucking, that's every fucking Western.
Yeah. We could write one.
Let's do it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't be worse than Ridiculous Six. Let's do it.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, no, they're doing, they just did Magnificent Seven. There's going to be a Magnificent Seven remake that's coming out.
I'm sure. I'll
Which again,
right.
That's fine because Magnificent Seven's 58 years old. So, I mean, you know, people haven't seen it. Nobody in this era has seen it, but they'll go see it because Chris Pratt's in it and Sam Jackson's in it. So, I mean, they will go see it because of who's in it, but. Hey, good for them for making a Western.
I'm sure my dad will be there.
I'm sure you'll be there, too.
Yeah.
Because Hollywood never lets Jack down. Well, actually, that was true a few years ago, but Jack now is dialed back.
Jack is jaded.
Yeah, as you can tell from him talking about
jaded.
All
these I'm just like, I don't want to spend my money on crap nowadays. It's like, I don't have to go to the movies just to go to the movies anymore.
Good for you.
Yeah. I pick what I want to see, and I'm smart about it.
Okay, one last play at nostalgia, and then we'll pack it in.
Sure.
Unless you have anything else, Jack.
No, go ahead.
No, okay. When it comes to nostalgia or not knowing when to quit specifically, there's no stopping it, but none of us are on board for Die Hard Year One. We're just going to put that out there.
Nope.
This sounds...
Die Hard's been over.
Awful. I just... Nobody wants to see
like
John McClane
as
before, a beat cop.
Die Hard Year One was the first Die Hard movie.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Why do you need to go
I'm
back
sure
and turn it into...
John McClane didn't have an incident... Before Nakatomi
that was the,
Tower.
That was the whole
yeah,
point.
Yeah, that triggered
that.
It all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was the entire
the
point.
Lone wolf attitude.
Oh, God. I have to say, I am actually upset. Among other things, well, by the time you people are hearing this week, there is actually in the Arrow Theater in Santa Monica is doing double features almost every night this week of Alan Rickman movies, and they're doing Die Hard and Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves in double feature.
Oh, that's fucking
week.
Awesome.
And they're doing some other Sense of Sensibility and Truly Madly Deeply one night. His new movie, oh God, what's it called? Eye in the Sky. They're doing a special screening of, which is him and Helen Mirren, and I forget who, Aaron Paul, I think, is in it. Mm-hmm. There's a few people. It actually looks really cool. Kind of a military thriller kind of thing.
Oh, yeah,
not political thriller,
that.
But I actually watched the trailer. I was like, this looks kind of cool. And, yeah, I was just like, fuck. I mean, whatever. I'll see Die Hard in theaters at Christmas. But yeah. Still, I just thought, man, I would like to see that. Oh, Alan Rickman remembered. So,
and I love seeing older movies in the theater more than seeing new movies. My God. I
yeah, that's
so much...
You know what? That's something that's come back that is pretty sweet.
When,
that there will be special
we saw
screenings.
The original Terminator this past summer in theaters, and I saw a couple of Spaceballs, Gremlins,
My Sister
Trouble,
just went
Little
to
China.
The...
It was so much fun watching because there were people there enjoying them.
They just had the 30th anniversary of Pretty in Pink. My sister went and saw it in the theater, which obviously, she was 8 when it came out. So she didn't see it in theaters at the time, and she wanted to go see it in the theater. So the fact they have that stuff to celebrate, I don't think that's something that existed either. I don't remember there being a 20th anniversary screening of Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Because I don't think I was born when I was 20 years old. But you know what I'm saying. Like, I don't think that existed when we were growing up. Apart from when they, like, released the Star Wars special editions in theaters when I was a freshman in high school. Otherwise, they weren't showing old movies in the theater. Again, not nationwide, where, like, Fathom has these events where they'll show... They show Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and they show the Maltese Falcon, and they did Pretty in Pink. Jack loves films. But... Now they're kind of doing these, or they've done it for Back to the Future. You know, they did the trilogy.
Trilogy in a Day. And,
back in October.
And Jaws, the 40th anniversary this past summer. I saw that in a big screen, and it was fucking awesome.
I know, I missed that, and I really wish I had
gone. Oh, my God. And
I
was
really
so close
to
missing it, too, because it got sold out at the theater I wanted to, and I had to go to another one and just made it.
Yeah, so that's where nostalgia is good. I like the fact that we get the chance to, because nothing beats seeing. Yeah. I think now, more than ever, I'm all on board for seeing movies in the theater, because... I'm not on my phone. When I'm sitting at home, I'm inadvertently looking at my phone while I'm trying to watch something. True. So I like that theater, I got to see.
Experience.
Shit, I got to see Masters of the Universe last year. That was fun.
when I saw Gremlins this past summer, it was sold out. I was in a packed theater seeing Gremlins. That's like, dude, fucking shit.
I went in, I guess it was October or something. It was around Halloween. Yeah. Went to the ArcLight in Hollywood because it was a Friday at midnight and they were showing The Thing. The original movie, The Thing. Well, not the Kurt Russell, John Carpenter. Yeah, the 19. Because it's a remake, so shut up about, like, remakes suck. A lot of remakes out there. Scarface is a remake. The one, you know, all the rappers are cum stained over. And The Thing that everybody loves is a remake. And, you know, The Departed's an American remake. So, yeah, not all remakes suck. But anyway. Yeah, went and saw that. Midnight show, Friday night. It was fucking packed. It wasn't, I don't think it was sold out. It was damn near. It must have been like 90% full. For a midnight show to see a movie that goes out at 2 a.m. I mean, it's... And it was great seeing that in the theater. Having only seen that on DVD or on TV, to see that in the theater and it's kind of fully immersed in it was just like, oh, fuck, this is cool.
Yeah, and I've seen so many of my favorites on the big screen, but there's still so many more I have to see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we'll get the chance. That's the good news.
Yeah.
Because we live in an era of nostalgia and this stuff will just keep going and going. And it's up to us to keep it going, too.
You're damn right.
That's right.
Huzzah. All right, I'm done.
Me too.
Yeah.
You are too. Ryan's just like, let me go to bed already. I've had enough. We're done here.
All right.
But listen, before we wrap up, once again, you guys, please visit chrisabala.com. Click support the show. Visit all our fine sponsors. Bookmark and shop through the Amazon banner. And every time you make a purchase, we get a small commission on your Amazon purchases. You don't pay a penny more. But Amazon gives us a little taste of what you buy.
Don't forget about audible.com.
Yes, absolutely. Sign up for Audible. Free audiobook download. Any audiobook of your choice. audibletrial.com/cape.
You can't beat it.
Yeah, you can't. It's fucking free. Everybody should do it. That's what I know. I sound like a broken record, but I'm like, free book. Get it. Free audiobook. Anyone you want. Go get it. Sign up.
I got Star Wars Aftermath for free with this link.
Exactly. So everybody needs to go for it. It's free. If you haven't signed up, check it out. If you like it, you get to keep it. If you don't like it, I think you're crazy, but there you go. of course, you can donate through the PayPal button as well. We do appreciate those of you who are submitting donations. It's all getting sucked away for the impending new studio the show will be moving into, but you know, it's a little early to talk about that, but just the same, thank you. show'll be back in 2 weeks, March 14th. And who knows? Maybe these guys will be back. Maybe it'll be somebody else. We'll see what happens in between now and then. Thank you for listening, as always. Subscribe, share, all that other good stuff. And until next time, for Jack DeFranco and Ryan Taggart, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment. 99 dreams I've had, and everyone a red balloon. It's all over, and I'm standing pretty in the dust that was a city. If I could find a souvenir just to prove the world was here, and here it is, a red balloon. I think of you. Let it go.